You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Black Friday to you. Appreciate you joining us. We got a lot to get to today on our podcast. Arkansas basketball falls to Illinois 90-77 yesterday in Kansas City. Arkansas football one day away from its regular season finale against Missouri and Columbia. On the show today will be Anthony Christensen from Kansas City. He was at the Razorback basketball game yesterday. We'll also have Christina Long on to talk Razorback football. We'll do our predictions at the end of the show. But first we go to Anthony, who I believe is some sort of coffee shop in Kansas City. Is that right, Anthony?
I'm now outside the coffee shop to get some better sound quality, and I'm shivering. But, yes, I am.
to get some fresh air.
Yeah,
get some fresh air. So Arkansas loses this game 90-77. And, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me, Anthony, is the fact that, Arkansas, they didn't shoot bad. They shot 49 or 48% yesterday, but they only made two less field goals than Illinois did. But Illinois outscores them by 13. They were about the same number of free throws that they made. It really comes down to the fact that Illinois is a really strong three-point shooting team, and Arkansas could not do much to defend the three.
Exactly, yeah. Like you mentioned, I think Illinois had one more field goal attempt, but I think it was – I don't remember the exact numbers. There's a lot more threes. You can't expect to beat a team like Illinois when they're shooting from three, especially that well. I know their game plan was to run Illinois off the three-point line, which is obviously easier said than done. Brad Underwood is a good coach. He's been a good coach for a long time, and he's got a team that is very, very specifically built around the three-point line. Kasparis Jakusconis, he was phenomenal, especially down the stretch. Kind of taking over the game there down in the final minutes. But even then, you've got Kylan Boswell, who's obviously stepping out and hitting threes. Ben Hummerkowski stepping out and hitting threes. I mean, that's what their offense is. And they just couldn't get them off the three-point line, which, like they said, like Jim Coleman said, that was going to be their game plan going into it. John Calipari said after the game that was their game plan and just didn't end up working. And, obviously it's easier said than done. It's not a complex, thing to want to do against Illinois just because that's what they're built to do. Just the three-point shooting was really the big difference in the game.
Well, and I thought the player that hurt Arkansas the most from three was Tommy Avisich, who hit 6 of 9.
Yes.
I don't know that they expected him to be the player that could step out and hit the three the way he did.
No, absolutely. He entered the game shooting, I think it was 28% from three on the season. And then he comes in and, he hit that first three-point shot. That kind of spurred that 11-0 run to start the game. And I guess it's just kind of one of those days where you kind of catch fire for Tomislav Avisic. Maybe he was just really fired up to be playing against his twin brother, which was a cool little moment. I got to see them interact a little bit before the game. I'm sure that was awesome for those guys. It wasn't just his three-point shooting. Obviously, that was a big factor in it. But it was also, he was really good inside, too. He got that block on the opening possession of the game that really kind of set the tone for Illinois. He was good defensively. So obviously, he was good on the perimeter as well. He definitely was one of the big factors in that game.
Arkansas had some games like this year where a team hits threes early, and Calipari thinks that the defense is going to wear them down, get their legs heavy. They're not going to hit threes late. And that never happened against Illinois. It seemed like every time that Arkansas would make a little push, get it within 9 points, 11 points, Illinois would come down, they'd hit a three. And it was just – it felt very demoralizing for Arkansas watching it. This is what John Calipari had to say about the three-point shooter.
We left corners. We don't ever leave corners. Literally left corners, and they made them. You got to give them credit. They had great motion. They were creating switches. We didn't rotate fast enough, but, there's a lot to learn from this. And I'll be honest, we getting hit in the mouth like this, But you got to play a certain way, and it's winning basketball. We didn't create enough threes because we didn't find people because we were trying to do it ourselves, and there were opportunities.
So you're John Calipari talking about three-point shooting there. Anthony, it just seems to me like when Arkansas is going to play a team this year that's able to shoot threes, if they're not going to be able to slow that team down quite a bit, they're going to have trouble staying in the games because unless something changes, this is not an Arkansas team that shoots the three-point ball very well at all.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, they started 0 of 7 from 3, Arkansas did, I should say, and didn't hit a 3 until the second half. I mean, they're definitely going to have to, you know, improve that three-point defense, even though their defense has obviously been good this season. I think they came into last night's game or yesterday's game. I think it was 1/13th in three-point defense in KenPom, which, you know, in the SEC, where you're going to be playing against teams like Alabama and Tennessee and Kentucky that are really reliant on the three ball and are very good from the perimeter, I mean, that's going to be tough. So they're going to have to find those answers and find them fast because, I mean, they've got, you know, Michigan and Miami coming up. I mean, those are teams that can also, maybe not to the same level as the teams I just mentioned, but they're still teams that can step out and hit threes. And will be good experience for them to have before going into SEC play, but you definitely are going to need them to, just improve that perimeter defense. And what exactly those answers are, I'm not, you know, sure. Just because, I mean, there's a reason I don't get paid to coach. So, yeah.
Well, there's talk about Calipari and how much has he evolved to, you know, what Brad Underwood called yesterday modern day basketball. Where, you know, and even Calipari before the game, he was talking about, he gives Underwood a lot of credit for being able to change his ways, and Illinois shooting the three way more now than any of Underwood's teams have done in the past, whether it be at Stephen F. Austin or Oklahoma State or the seven teams before this one at Illinois. What are your thoughts on that, about how this Calipari system fits into the modern-day game?
It's a good question because it's kind of hard to – really narrow it down because, I mean, sometimes you have teams that play more of an old school brand of basketball, like last year's Purdue team that made the national title game, that are built around, you know, traditional bigs or are built around driving to the basket. But he is kind of correct in saying that, like, modern basketball is built around the three-point line. One of the things that I looked at from last night's game is, you know, the shot chart, you know, where teams taking the shots. Like I mentioned, I think Illinois had, it was double-digit more three-point attempts. I don't remember the exact numbers, but double-digit more three-point attempts. And Arkansas had, I think it was, I think 8 true mid-range shots, which, I mean, the mid-range shot, in especially in modern college basketball, so obviously it's a bit different in the NBA, but, I mean, it's just not as effective of a shot. And you want to get it inside, which Arkansas did do, you know, driving to the basket, that dribble drive offense, and getting to the rim, which is obviously going to be effective. I mean, those are, you want the ball inside at the rim, or you want it on the perimeter if you're going to be playing like this modern analytics based basketball. But you know, it's a tough question, just because you don't really, you know, different ways can work. And you saw that with Purdue. You see that a little bit with Marquette too, just because of, you know, the way Shaka Smart kind of runs his program up there. It's a little different than Purdue, obviously, because their Marquette is a kind of built around the point guard and everything, Cam Jones there. But you know, it is a credit to Brad Underwood just for being able to evolve and kind of recruit to, you know, what is kind of effective in this game in this day and age. But I mean, it's not like it's impossible to win. I don't know if that actually answers the question or not, but I just kind of started going on a tangent, but it'll be interesting to see if maybe, you know, this team does try to pivot and try to get towards, you know, hitting more 3-point shots. I mean, maybe trying to get Nelly Davis more involved, because I think he only had three field goal attempts, and one of them was a three that he hit. Mm-hmm. So maybe trying to get him more involved, maybe try to get Boogie Flan to be more frequent from the three-point line. I don't know what the answer exactly is,
But yeah, Brad Underwood is, I mean, he's been a phenomenal coach for a long time, and his evolution is it's impressive to see for sure.
Arkansas shot 17 threes during the game. Illinois shot 31. Illinois hit almost as many threes as Arkansas took in the game. Illinois made 15. Arkansas only made 5 threes. Adu Thiro was phenomenal for Arkansas. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen a player as good at getting to the basket. Like, Illinois could not take his dribble drive game away at all. And it was either going to, you know, it was going to end up in a layup, a thunderous dunk, or they were going to foul him. And they fouled him a lot. And he only hit 12 of 21 free throws. And so for as good as he was, I thought the missed free throws from Thiro, because he missed 9 of them, I thought those were huge to the game, because there were a lot of times where he was at the line and it was a 9-point game, or it was an 8-point game, or you know, a 10-point game. And, you know, if he makes a couple, you know, there were a lot of 1-for-2s. There were some 0-for-2s. And I thought the missed free throws just never put the pressure on Illinois the way that Arkansas probably could have if he makes those shots.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're free, right? you got to hit your free throws at least, you know, on a consistent basis. And I wouldn't expect Adu Thiro to miss free throws in that kind of volume, you know, going forward. I think that's more of an anomaly, but maybe I'm wrong. And maybe it does continue to happen, and that ends up being a problem down the stretch of the season. But yeah, I mean, if you're missing free throws, I mean, as a team, I think Arkansas shot like somewhere in the 60% range from the free throw line, which obviously, I mean, you're not going to win a lot of games like that if you're getting a lot of looks at the free throw line. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something that they're going to have to address, have to improve upon, especially, you know, with that dribble drive offense, that they're going to get a lot of looks from the free throw line. So that's certainly definitely one of the factors of that game, I'd say.
I don't know if I was more impressed with Illinois or if I was more just disappointed in how Arkansas played. You listen to Calipari talk after the game, and, you know, he said that he thought the team was farther along. And he said, and it's okay. He said it's a process. But he certainly thought the team was farther along, and I did too. I thought this was going to be a much more competitive game because, I mean, frankly, it just did not feel like a very competitive game. Illinois, they get up 11-0, then it's 21-6. And after it's 21-6, Arkansas outscores them the rest of the way. It's just they never could, like I said, they never could make that push that made Illinois feel threatened at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, they couldn't get, you know, those consecutive stops to really make it a game. Yeah, that like you said, I mean, it just never really felt all that competitive, even though it did get down to single digits at certain points of the game. And Illinois really did kind of take it to them, especially there early when they got off to that big lead in the first, I think, 5 to 7 minutes of the game. I was very impressed with Illinois. I mean, just to have a team shoot the three from that volume and, you know, convert that many shots. I mean, it's always going to be an impressive showing when you hit, what was it, 15, 16 of their 31 three-point attempts. Yeah. But, I mean, I think there's also a disappointment value if you're an Arkansas fan of like, okay, you know they're going to hit the three. Why aren't you making adjustments to run them off the line or maybe disrupt their shots a little bit better? And yeah, I do think that Illinois team maybe is a little bit farther along than this Arkansas team. I don't know why that is or how you kind of, I guess, where you kind of draw that line or where you kind of think that kind of comes into play. Because, I mean, they're kind of in a similar, I guess, area of the build. I mean, Arkansas has one returning player from last season's team. So does Illinois. And then you could also even look at it from, okay, Calipari has three guys that he coached last season, three rotation guys he coached from last season who are on this team. And Illinois just looks like a more cohesive unit. So maybe – I don't know what the answer really is, but I was very impressed with Illinois. That's
well,
for sure.
And sometimes teams just have better days. When you play 31 games, you're gonna have days where you shoot it out of your mind, you're gonna have days where you stink it up. And you know, we simply don't know what the case was yesterday.
And Illinois shot, I think it was 10 of 30 from three against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if they had that kind of a game against Arkansas, maybe it's a different result. You know, who knows? And I kind of on that same line, Illinois lost by 13 against Alabama. So kind of the same deficit, if you will. So it is obviously it's early. I wouldn't be slamming that big red button on the desk yet, but yeah.
Jonas Adu was back for Arkansas, 2 points, 3 rebounds in 11 minutes for him. Certainly still looks, you know, very rusty. This is what John Calipari had to say about Adu.
We have not practiced with Jonas, and we practice very little with TB. We got the ceilings there. It's that we got work to do, and we got to figure all this out.
So Arkansas still trying to get this, trying to get this all figured out, where they've got all of their players. I mean, he said that Adu hasn't even practiced with the team, where they're trying to get this 9-man rotation on the floor. And you know, I would say to anybody that's panicking about Arkansas basketball, you know, just wait until we see what the 9 players look like whenever they are at full health and they're at full speed, because we have not seen what I think is going to be Arkansas's team. In SEC play, we haven't really seen them play together yet because of the injuries, because of different things that have been going on here. But Arkansas's got 6 games in the month of December, Anthony. It feels like that's going to be the time where, you know, over the next 30 days or so, where we see, you know, what this team is made of. Like when they come out of the gates in SEC play, I think they play, maybe Tennessee first?
Knoxville.
That's a good test. You know, it's going to be when they come out of the gates against Tennessee here in about, you know, 5 weeks in SEC play, that's going to tell you a lot more about what this team is than I think, you know, these games in November. They matter. You know, they're going to matter to their NCAA tournament resume, and they missed a chance yesterday to beat what I think is a tournament team in Illinois. But I'm really interested to see how this team looks once the players are healthy and once they've had a lot of this practice time under their belt that I think they're going to get in the month of December.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they're going to have more resume opportunities this in December as well. I mean, their next 2 games are at Miami and then a neutral site against Michigan. So, I mean, those right there are 2 games that, you know, even if, like, I mean, Miami obviously lost in Charleston against Drake. And I think, I don't remember.
They lost all 3 in Charleston.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe Miami's not going to be the best team that they're ever going to face, but it's still going to be a resume opportunity. Miami's going to be a team that plays a lot of quad 1, quad 2 games in the ACC, so it's going to give them a good opportunity. If they can win, it's going to help bolster their resume. Same thing with Michigan. I mean, Michigan just had a big win against, I can't remember who it was, but it was another Power Conference team. I can't remember off the top of my head. And it was impressive. I watch too much basketball, so all the games maybe kind of get mixed up in my head. But, I mean, those are 2 opportunities right there in which they're going to have an opportunity to build their resume. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, yeah, obviously come together. Having Jonas Adu back obviously is going to be a big help for them, especially on the side of the floor. Even though he was a little limited in his action, I thought he did some good things. He had a good deflection that led to Billy Richmond getting down the floor and getting to the rim. So, I mean, that was a good thing to see if you're an Arkansas fan, especially, you know, having had to wait to see Jonas Adu for a while. So I think there's some good things there. I was impressed with Billy Richmond again. He is consistently giving them good minutes. So, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. I think John Calipari said, I mean, they did do some good things. Obviously, you don't want to lose by 13 points on a neutral site against another Power Conference team. But, you know, there were some things to take away that were good. And having Jonas Adu back is obviously one of those. But, they'll have some good opportunities to build, to kind of come together and improve before SEC play starts.
The Michigan game, you're trying to remember, they beat Xavier by 25 at the Fort Myers tip-off. So
a Xavier team that I'm very high on, yeah, too.
So Arkansas's next 3 games, they do have UTSA in between Miami and Michigan.
I forgot about that one, to be honest.
A few games coming up here in the next couple of weeks for the Razorbacks. Anthony, we appreciate your time. We want to tell you you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. It's the most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, and unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. You can also find our podcast on Apple and Spotify or the video version on YouTube by searching any of those platforms for Whole Hog Sports. That's one word, WHOLEHOGSPORTS. When we come back, Christina Long will join me. We'll talk Arkansas-Missouri football, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Christina Long with me now, all bundled up, getting ready to go up to Chile, Colombia. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was really nice. I was responsible for making a pie, which turned out good. Every year I get nervous because I started making the crust myself a couple years ago. Every year it's a battle. Every year I get very stressed, and every year it turns out fine.
What kind of pie was it?
Apple.
Okay.
Yeah, see, we have like a family apple pie recipe we always do.
My wife made pecan pie, and she makes it every year. And then every year we get to her, you know, we get to wherever we're going for Thanksgiving, and then she freaks out because, oh, my pecan pie wasn't good enough.
Yes, I'm like that.
The bottom's too crisp.
Yeah.
It's like, who cares?
I'm like that.
I'm here for the middle part.
Yes.
I don't care. So anyway, she was freaking out about her pecan pie. She also made pumpkin pie this year.
Nice.
That turned out well.
Yeah.
And her mom made apple pie for the first time.
Yeah, I'm always an apple pie.
I love apple pie.
Or like chocolate, or like you know.
Every year on my birthday, I tell my mom, I'm like, I don't want a cake. Just make me an apple pie. Because my mom makes the best apple pie.
That's awesome.
But yeah, Thanksgiving was good. Like, do you have any, like, other than like pies, is there any type of like food that's a staple at your Thanksgiving that you don't eat the rest of the year?
Okay, yes. And it's really,
other than turkey,
weird. So we do stuffing kind of weird. It's like something that my dad's family used to do. I honestly don't know where it came from. But when we make stuffing, we basically make the mix and, like, you know, I don't honestly know how normal stuffing is made because we always make it this way. We just use like the stovetop mix, put in your, you know, your, and then we add egg, and then you basically make it into like pancakes, like a flat pancake, and bake it so it's crunchy, and we call it hard stuffing. And I nobody I know ever does that. I don't know why we do it. It's good though. It's great when you make leftovers and you do like a leftover sandwich, because you basically just like stick a stuffing patty on there and it's like crunchy. So that's our Thanksgiving staple. We make it at Christmas too, but I don't know why they did it that way when my dad was a kid, but we do it now and it's pretty good.
I don't know. Like, I didn't get it this year. This is the first time in years that I didn't get my dad's cornbread casserole. My mom was sick, and so we didn't see them yesterday. But he makes this thing that he calls cornbread casserole. And when you hold the pan, it probably weighs about 27 pounds. Because every food known to man is in this thing. And, I mean, it's lathered with just all kinds. It's probably the worst thing that you could probably ever eat, but we only eat it one time a year.
Yeah.
That's what I was missing yesterday. How many people do you think are listening or watching us like wearing stretchy pants today?
Oh my God, yeah. I wore jeans and it was a choice yesterday. It was bold of me.
Well, we certainly hope you had a happy Thanksgiving wherever you are, Arkansas and Missouri. Tomorrow, not on Black Friday. It's kind of it feels weird not having a game on Black Friday. Just the third time. Think about this. It's only the third time since 1996, maybe 95, that Arkansas has not played on Black Friday.
Yeah. I kind of like it just because I didn't have to leave on Thanksgiving Day, which is what I've usually had to do to cover this game. But so selfishly, I like it. But yeah, it's weird. What was really weird was not having the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Having that one, I guess that's tonight. That's Friday.
It'll be this afternoon.
This afternoon.
It's basically taken the time slot that Arkansas and Missouri used to have. Arkansas was always, and I don't know that people understand this, but playing on Black Friday is not the most desirable deal, from a television standpoint. But there's so much inventory on this weekend, whether it be Thanksgiving night, like Tulane and Memphis played last night, there's going to be a whole slate of games today in the SEC, not just the SEC, across college football. There's several Black Friday games, and then, you have tomorrow. But playing on Black Friday is not really desirable from a TV standpoint, but there's the inventory, and so Arkansas always made itself available to CBS, whether it be the Arkansas-LSU game or the Arkansas-Missouri game, once that began. But again, it's just the third time they haven't played on Black Friday since the mid-90s. The only other three times, there was the COVID year, where had that season been normal, they were going to play Missouri at Arrowhead on Black Friday, and they ended up playing it in Columbia in December, and it was just, pretty cold, not as cold as it's going to be this week. But then the only other 2 years, there was a 09 and 10, CBS talked Auburn and Alabama into playing on Black Friday, and Arkansas and LSU moved to Saturday for those years, and the people at Auburn and Alabama both absolutely hated it. And so they moved that game back to Saturday as fast as they could, and Arkansas and LSU, they both went back to Friday, and then the Arkansas-Missouri game started. But yeah, it's weird not having a game today, because you just, your body just, and your brain, it just kind of gets into that, it's almost like muscle memory. It's just like, hey, okay, I ate Thanksgiving yesterday, there's a football game today, and then you wake up today, it's like, there's no football game.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. It's an adjustment to make for sure. And yeah, it's hard too, because, I mean, you get to watch some good games today, but yeah, tomorrow is a pretty crowded schedule, I think.
So the weather in Columbia, I looked this up, and I'm always amazed.
Yeah, where are we at currently? Well, like, as of this moment, what is it supposed to be?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I'm always amazed at what people will read on our website. you might spend 10 hours crafting this, really well-written, feature or something, and, 10 times more people read about there's going to be a Razorback Jell-O box. That you take 5 seconds to put that together off of a press release. And so I put something on our site, though, yesterday. I mean, I didn't even think that it was going to get well read. And this thing is just doing all kinds of crazy numbers. But it was about how, the coldest games Arkansas's ever played in as an SEC team. And keep in mind that a couple of things. Number one, the temperature that's listed on the box score is based on the temperature at kickoff. And so sometimes you'll have like a really cold game, at kickoff early in the morning. You'll play at 11 a.m., but by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's really not that cold. It's cool, but it's not, frigid. There's some games like that. On the flip side, you might have a game that kicks off at 6:30, and by the time it ends at 10 o'clock, it's way worse than what the temperature on the box score says. So keep that in mind, but then also keep in mind that just in terms of digital box scores, these only go back to 1990. You'd have to go back and really do a lot of work to find the coldest games that Arkansas has ever played in. Record keeping, you get past a certain point, the record keeping's not that great. So we limited this to the coldest games that Arkansas has ever played as an SEC team, because 1992, that's when they began playing SEC games. Long story short, there have only been 4 games with temperatures freezing or below. And the conditions in Columbia, you ask what it's supposed to be tomorrow. Looks like it's a little bit of a heat wave. They've pushed their high temperature up to 35. Supposed to have some winds out of the east. 80% chance of snow, 1 to 3 inches of snow possible.
Yeah.
Now keep in mind, at 2:30 in the afternoon, this is right at the peak of this is going to be your high temperature tomorrow. So it may not go down as the coldest game they've ever played because the kickoff is in the middle of the afternoon. But you don't get conditions like this very often where, you add the wind chill in and then obviously the snow. They haven't played a game, from what we can tell, where it has snowed since 1993. And that was a game just with flurries against Auburn. They haven't played a true snow game since 1991 against Baylor. So this is really rare what they're going into this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. We were talking with some of the players this week about, a lot of these guys are from the South. What's the coldest game you ever played in? Have you ever played in the snow? Taylor Green played at Boise State. He's, used to this. So So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how it affects the game, if there's snow coming down during the game, if it's just straight up cold, you know, how it actually affects, you know, how they approach playing this game. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, somebody was asking me last night, you know, since I went to Missouri, like, how did you guys get a lot of snow, a lot of cold? And I was like, we definitely got more snow than we did here in Fayetteville, but it wasn't like crazy. But we would usually have like a few times a year, you know, sometimes school would get canceled or sometimes it would just be straight up really, we had a day that school was canceled just because it was really, really cold. It was like negative something and none of the shuttle buses from the apartment complexes would start. And so they had to cancel classes. And so, you know, it definitely gets colder than it does here. It's a different kind of cold, I would say. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I haven't figured out what coat I'm going to bring yet. Got to figure it out. Because if I remember right, I think the press box is open. I don't think it has windows that shut. So I think,
is it?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if there's optional windows like there are at Razorback Stadium. I'm not sure. But
it's a weird press box.
Sure,
I do remember
open.
That.
Yes, it's odd. I found a dead bat in there once. It was at the spring game. I went into the press box, dead bat in the middle of the floor.
I don't know how to follow that. All I can say is there used to be bats in the stairwells at Baum Stadium.
Oh,
and it was in one stairwell. It was a stairwell that was closer to the press box doors, and I would always go out of my way to go to the other door. Because at night when they've got the lights off, I didn't want to get attacked by a bat going down the stairs.
Gross.
It's everything about Columbia is odd, quite frankly. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just how I feel.
Yeah.
low temperature tomorrow night is 18 in Columbia. It's not going to be 18 during the game, but you throw these winds in here. You know, they've got it says Saturday night northwest winds over 5 miles an hour. It's going to be a little bit of a wind chill. It's going to make it feel colder than whatever the air temperature is. You know, Drinkwitz made a great point this week, and you see this, too, in the snow games that you watch, is that, you know, your cleats become, you know, like sometimes in these snow games, teams will pack a second set of cleats. Mm-hmm. And you'll see it, too, with some of the, I guess, some of the rain games, too. But basically, you've got shorter cleats and you've got longer, you know, cleats. And a lot of times you'll see the teams, once the, you know, the field conditions start worsening, you'll see guys on the sideline all, okay, guys, you got to get your cleats changed because you're not going to be able to get any traction with the short cleats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they manage situations like that and how much snow is actually on the ground, on the field. If, like I said, if snow is coming down during the game, you know, because we talked about, what was it, 2014 LSU, where there was snow on the ground, but it didn't actually snow during the game, right? So, I mean, if it's a situation like that, you know, just it'll be interesting kind of how they handle it. I think Missouri's turf, I don't think it's natural grass. So, you know,
the climate just makes it very difficult to have natural grass.
Right.
There.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, we'll have to see kind of how they manage it, what they end up having to do. You know, it's something they're prepared for, but it is odd because they haven't had to do it very much. So I wonder if you get in a situation where, you know, how people always talk about in the South, if it snows a little bit, nobody can drive anywhere because they're not equipped to handle the roads. You know, is it going to be a situation like that where they're just not equipped to deal with it because they never really have to?
What do you think the key to this game is?
Man, I think the run game is going to be huge. Arkansas has to get back to it the way that it has, you know, when it's been at its most successful. I think, you know, we've seen them get away from it kind of inexplicably at times late in the season. I think that's going to be really key for them, including with Talen Green. And then I think, you know, I think Brady Cook is not 100%. I don't think he's going to be the player that we've seen him be earlier this season. I don't think he's the player we saw him be in the last two games against Arkansas. So, I mean, I think Arkansas against the run is going to be important too. I mean, I think Nate Noel is a really good running back. I think he's maybe a little bit underrated just because as a team they don't have the kind of rushing numbers that, you know, say Arkansas does. I think they're near the bottom of the league. But Nate Noel and they have a running back tandem. His name escapes me, the second guy. But they have, you know, a pretty solid tandem there. So I really think this is going to come down to kind of a ground game situation, especially in the cold, especially when, you know, you might have some inaccuracy on both sides. I think this is really going to be kind of a run game battle would be my guess.
You know, I've said this a couple of times this week, and I wrote about it earlier in the week using our efficiency ratings, is that you would look at Missouri and see that they're 8-3, and you would say that's not that whole lot of a whole lot different than the team last year that went 10-2 in the regular season. They obviously go 9-3 if they beat Arkansas, but the numbers say that they're a whole lot different. Last year, their team finished third offensive efficiency, fourth defensive efficiency, and third as a team in efficiency. This year, they go into the game 13th on offense, 11th on defense, and 12th as a team. And, you know, you say, well, how do they have eight wins with that type of numbers? Well, number one, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat to beat Oklahoma and Auburn, two of the worst teams in the SEC.
They've really gotten away with some games.
They played right at their level.
Yeah.
They probably shouldn't have – I shouldn't say they shouldn't have beaten either one because they outplayed them, you know, at the very end when it mattered. But they very easily could have lost to two of the worst teams in the SEC. And then whenever they've gotten out of their, you know, like out of their level, so to speak, I mean, look what Alabama did to them. Look what Texas A&M did to them. South Carolina beat them a couple of weeks ago over in Columbia, South Carolina. So the efficiency numbers, I mean, you look at it last year, they were 433, which means they scored at about 43% of all the points possible. This year they scored about 29%. That's a huge drop-off.
Yeah.
Last year they allowed teams to score about 29% of all possible. This year it's at 33, almost 34%. That's not as drastic of an increase, but it's still a pretty significant one. So the numbers tell you that, yes, the record is similar, but this is not anywhere near the same Missouri team. And I think that should make Arkansas feel good about its chances to go up there and win, because Missouri, this is not a world-beater type team.
Yeah, and when Missouri has played quality teams, like you said, they haven't really stood up to it. The question is Arkansas one of those quality teams, or is this, you know, one of the teams that they kind of – the teams that they've escaped against? You know, they've gotten away with it. You know, Sam Pittman said it really well. He said, you don't want Eli Drinkwitz to have the ball at the end of the game. You don't want him to have the ball last. Because of the way that they've been able to pull off kind of these crazy wins.
They've been so good at the end.
Exactly. It's great. And so Arkansas cannot afford to get in that kind of situation, especially because we've seen Arkansas blow games where they've had leads. You know, we've seen them waste opportunities that way. We've seen the defense fall apart at the end of a game, you know. So that's going to be really important. I think, you know, Arkansas holding the ball as much as it can is going to matter a lot, too.
The only two teams in efficiency that are worse than Missouri that Arkansas has played this year are Auburn and Mississippi State. And Arkansas controlled both of those games for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn got a little close there at the end, but they never felt like they were really in danger of losing that game. And then obviously they beat Mississippi State like a drum down in Starkville. I think Arkansas's got a good chance to win this game. I really do. Last year when they played Missouri here in Fayetteville, I did not think Arkansas was going to perform very well in that game because of what had happened the previous 2 weeks. And unfortunately, that turned out to be right. I thought Cody Schrader was going to have a monster game. I didn't think he was going to run for 195 in the first half, but he did. And, you know, Arkansas, but by that point last year, they just completely checked out. This has got a different feeling going into this game than the one last year.
Yeah, it's been weird with this Missouri team, too, because the offense has dropped off so much, but they have so many of the same guys back. All the receivers are back, all the top four guys. Brady Cook is back, obviously. The biggest missing piece, I think a lot of the offensive line was retained. The biggest piece that's missing is Cody Schrader. And so I just wonder, you know, how much of that is just you needed him to open up your offense. And, you know, like I said, they've got two running backs that have done a solid job and, you know, that get done what they need them to get done. But it just isn't the kind of production that they saw last year.
It was very obviously they've got an injury on their offensive line. Their center was lost for the season within the last couple of weeks, too. So that's something worth watching. We got predictions coming up. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. We want to tell you about Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We are joined at the desk by Little Jack Jones. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good, yeah. Okay, so we told Jack he could come back and do a prediction segment. He had so much fun the first time. And he's got everything printed out here. He's going to tell you what he thinks about the games across the SEC this week. It's a fun weekend in the SEC because it is rivalry week, at least in most locations, except for Oklahoma LSU doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No. And Arkansas, Missouri, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, I mean, it makes more sense than Oklahoma
LSU.
It
does, for sure. For sure.
But you know, there's a way to fix this, right? You know this.
Swap them.
There's a very easy way to fix this. You have Arkansas play LSU on Thanksgiving weekend, like they always have, and you have Missouri and Oklahoma play each other on Thanksgiving weekend. Problem fixed. Arkansas-LSU is somewhat of a rivalry, and Oklahoma-Missouri would be a much bigger game, I think, to both of those fan bases than Oklahoma against LSU or Missouri against Arkansas because they have history. That's a series that goes back almost 100 years. It's back when they were in the big whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it would mean a lot more, I think, on both sides. But, yeah, I don't know if we'll see that happen or not, but I think that would definitely make a lot more sense. LSU, yeah, has just – they've got so many rivals that it's honestly at this point, it's like, who do you stick on rivalry week, you know, because mm-hmm. they've got so many that they already play during the season.
Where it gets confusing, and you would just say, hey, that's an easy fix, and I know I said that, but it actually is a very complex fix mm-hmm. because the SEC, one of the, you know, a game that they don't want to give up is the Red River game
yeah.
between Oklahoma and Texas. And so those teams are permanent rivals or permanent opponents every year. And so because they are permanent opponents, as long as there's an eight-game schedule, you're not going to get Texas A&M every year. And you're not going to get Oklahoma-Missouri every year. You're not going to get Arkansas-LSU every year. And so as easy of a fix as it sounds, it actually is much more complex, at least based on the way the SEC seems intent on handling its business from a scheduling standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all of this stuff is so confusing, and, you know, they're still revisiting how they want to do the future conference scheduling. If they go to nine games, you know, when you schedule all those, what weeks of the season they're in. It's just, I do not envy the people that have to make these schedules.
Yeah, I don't either, and I don't understand how they do it, quite frankly. You know, used to, they would go and they would, like, I've seen where the NFL, they would make their schedule, and they put all the teams on, like, this big, you know, marker board, and then they're, you know, they'd move somebody, and, oh, well, that won't work, so we got to move them down here. And it's just, I think that it's a lot more sophisticated now, but it's still very much different. Yes, sir. Are you ready for predictions? Okay, yeah, he's not very patient. He's ready for predictions. Do you think they should play Texas A&M every year, Jack?
For sure. I don't think either of those teams should be out of the SEC.
Like, but you think they should be playing every year?
Yeah.
Here's a question. Would you rather see Texas versus Texas A&M every year or Texas A&M against LSU?
Definitely Texas A&M.
Yeah, okay. You want to tell them what you did to the Longhorn fans when they walked into the restaurant the night before the game a couple of weeks ago? This kid has he's memorized all the fight songs. And so some Texas fans walked into a restaurant that we were eating at the night before the Razorback Texas game.
I mean, there was millions of Texas fans.
They weren't. Yeah, the capacity's not in the millions. But the point being, he leans over the rail and he starts singing the Texas A&M fight song at him. Saw Varsity's horns off.
That's really
And
funny.
I have to, like, pull. Don't do that.
That's really funny.
But I said it the opposite. It's Arkansas Texas A&M fight song.
Okay. All right, let's get going on predictions.
Like, hail to the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Okay,
go.
Let's get going on predictions here. We'll start with the games. We're only going to do SEC games this week because there's a bunch of them. You got four SEC teams who are playing their in-state rivals who are from the ACC. And we'll start with the Friday games this afternoon, 2:30 on ABC. It's Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Mississippi State trying to keep from going winless in the SEC this year. Ole Miss is a 25-point favorite, Christina.
Yeah, I've got Ole Miss. It's a bummer the Egg Bowl is not going to be any fun this year. This is usually one of the better games. You know, something crazy is going to happen. But, I mean, maybe Mississippi State will catch an Ole Miss team that's feeling kind of defeated after their playoff chances are pretty much out. But,
I mean,
yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, Ole Miss, they're not completely out of the
no, they're
chaos
not.
Chaos could
yeah.
happen.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's – I think it's unlikely that a three-loss SEC team is going to get into the playoff without the conference championship. But I don't know that it's totally unheard
of.
The way they put Alabama this week,
I know
Alabama could get there, and then Ole Miss is right behind them.
If
there's enough chaos at the top, it wouldn't surprise me to see Ole Miss be able to sneak back into the playoff. I don't think it's likely.
Yeah,
it just wouldn't totally surprise me. Jack, Mississippi State, Ole Miss.
I have to go with Ole Miss because it's a home game. Mississippi State is very bad. Ole Miss is very good. I think Ole Miss will have a big game.
Okay. Yeah, I think Ole Miss names its score in this game. Mississippi State.
It might be 100-7.
It might be. It might be. Well, if Lane had a bad Thanksgiving, it might be 100-7. Mississippi State's defense is so bad. That's got to be what they correct during the offseason. I think Ole Miss, especially with it being home, I think Ole Miss wins this game really, really big. Another game today in the SEC, it's maybe one of the great rivalry names in college football. They call it clean, old-fashioned hate. It's Georgia Tech, 7-4. At seventh-ranked Georgia, the Bulldogs are 9-2, and they are an 18-point favorite at home.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Georgia. I think this could be spicier than people think. I like Georgia Tech. They don't have Haynes King. I believe they're playing a backup. But I think he played pretty well against NC State last week. NC State, not very good. So we'll see how much that means. But I think this will be more of a fight than people think because Georgia is susceptible to mistakes and they don't have a great offense. But I do think Georgia is going to take care of business just fine.
And Georgia Tech beat Miami this year.
Yeah.
All right, Jack, what do you got?
Sounds like a good game. Big game for Georgia at home. Their offense looks very good.
So here, try not to read your script. Just ad lib. Georgia, yeah, I think they win this game. Very big. The Bulldogs, I would not want to play, and I've said this a number of times, and sometimes it hasn't proven to be true. They lost to Alabama in the championship game last year. They lost to Ole Miss a few weeks ago. I just wouldn't want to play Kirby Smart's team when they've got something to play for and they feel like their backs are against the wall. That's always a dangerous team to play. Going on to tomorrow's games, there is a full slate of games in the SEC tomorrow. 11 a.m. kickoffs. We'll start with Tennessee going to Vanderbilt. The Vols are 9-2. The Commodores are 6-5. Tennessee's an 11-point favorite. And basically, if Tennessee wins this game, they're in the playoff.
Yeah. I mean, I've got Tennessee here. I think they're playing well late, especially on defense. They have a pretty good defensive efficiency. And then I think Vanderbilt's just kind of out of gas. I mean, I think the magic is worn off a little bit. I still think they're pretty good, but I do think Tennessee's going to win.
Jack, you've got...
I'm going to go the other direction with Vanderbilt.
Ooh.
Vanderbilt's defense is just rocking this year.
Well, I don't know if they'd say they're rocking this year, but you said you've liked them the last few weeks.
Yeah, they almost beat the Longhorns.
They did almost beat the Longhorns. I mean, even last week they went to LSU and they had a chance.
Yeah.
You know, toward the end.
They put up a fight for sure.
But in Texas Vanderbilt, that was a pretty weird game because it looked like it was like Texas home game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's typically how it goes in
Texas
Vanderbilt.
Fans just, they travel all over the place.
Yeah, and everybody wants to go have a trip to Nashville and have fun, so take over that stadium.
Yeah, they wanted to see where the country music was better in Austin or Nashville. I think it's better in Austin, quite frankly. I got to go with Tennessee. You see where Dylan Sampson was left off the Doak Walker Award finalist list this year?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, and so that's kind of been a talking point over there, you know, the disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, quite frankly, I think Sampson should probably be
on
that list. I don't think anybody's beating Ashton Genty for the award this year. But, you know, I think Tennessee wins.
Do we have Boise State on here?
We don't have Boise State.
Who do they play?
I'm not sure. You're the Boise State expert around here, Jack. We'll look it up.
It's a good
game.
Oregon State. Okay, it's not that good.
No,
game.
It's not a good game. No, I don't think that'll be a very good game.
Oregon State. Yeah, Boise State's going to win.
All right. How about an 11 a.m. kickoff on ESPN? This is maybe the game of the week. South Carolina goes to Clemson. The Gamecocks, number 15. They're not out of the playoff picture either. Clemson, number 12. They're 9-2. Clemson is a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a huge game for both teams. It's not often we see this be such a big game on both sides. But, yeah, I mean, both of these teams are kind of bubble teams for this playoff, and I think the offense has come on strong pretty late for South Carolina, and Clemson's pretty susceptible to mistakes. I have South Carolina winning. Do you know Clemson has had like 6 or 7 field goals blocked or kicks blocked this year?
Really?
Yeah, it's bad. And, you know, for a team like South Carolina, you know, Beamer ball, whatever,
Beamer ball,
I expect some special teams weirdness, and I do think South Carolina's would pull it out. But this is going to be really, really fun to watch.
Just explain for people real quick who haven't experienced that rivalry firsthand what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, these teams do not like each other. I went to last year's game. It was at South Carolina. It was a lot of fun. I mean, this is one of those rivalries, you know, an in-state rivalry that really runs pretty deep. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. This one's at Clemson. And I think this rivalry has needed a game with high stakes on both sides, I think. And so, you know, this should really give people what they're looking for, and I think it'll be a great, really great environment.
All right, Jack, what do you got?
I'm going to go with South Carolina because South Carolina, since the Texas A&M game, they've just looked awesome.
They have looked very good.
They're coming the way to Alabama. They're starting to look like Alabama.
Okay, depending on what you're, it's a good point. I'm going to go with Clemson. Clemson's at home. You look at South Carolina; their best games this year have been at home. Mm-hmm. On the road, they've had some games where they struggled to, you know, to finish. They couldn't finish at Alabama. They couldn't finish against LSU. So I think Clemson at home. Clemson's got a little bit more to play for than South Carolina. I will say this. The road team's won the last three in that series, so that's very interesting.
Yeah.
11 o'clock game on SEC Network. Louisville at Kentucky. The Cardinals are 7-4. The Wildcats are 4-7.
Yeah, I've got Louisville. Kentucky's playing a backup quarterback named Cutter Bowley, which is a name. Okay. And they haven't played good offense anyway, so I don't expect it, you know, to get any better. And, you know, they play pretty solid defense, but I just think Louisville will be able to score enough to make this happen, and I don't think Kentucky will be very effective.
I'm
going to
go
offense.
With Louisville.
Yeah.
Louisville, earlier in the year, they were in the rankings. Kentucky hasn't been in the rankings. Kentucky's a bad team. Louisville, they just sound like they're going to win.
I like how you say Louisville correctly, too. Some questions about whether or not this will be Mark Stoops' last game at Kentucky. There are people who think that he might retire at the end of the year. I don't know. You know, Bob Stoops retired at a fairly young age, and he said it was, you know, their father died while coaching in his mid-50s. I don't know what happens there. I'm obviously not plugged in at Kentucky, but certainly there are questions about whether or not Mark Stoops will be back next year. The real Louisville-Kentucky game is in 2 weeks at Rupp Arena. That's yeah. All I'll say. I think Louisville wins this. 2:30, Iron Bowl, Auburn at Alabama. The Tigers can get bowl eligible with a win. Alabama 8-3 and an 11.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, this has the potential to be interesting, but I still do have Alabama. I don't think Auburn has the offense to stand up to this.
Yeah, who you got?
Alabama.
Yeah.
You don't think Auburn's a very good team?
Yeah, Auburn, I mean, last year they were pretty good, but this year they stink.
Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah. Ask Hugh Freeze. They'd win this game 7 out of 10.
They won against Texas A&M, but that was just when Texas A&M and Marcel Reed, and Texas A&M doesn't have their sub quarterback.
They're
really good at home, but I just don't trust them when they're away.
No, they're
a lot like Alabama.
Yeah, okay, that's a lot like all that teams.
They just weren't ready to go to Auburn.
Maybe Arkansas is like the anti-SEC team because it seems like they've been better on the road this year. Now, I know the teams haven't been as good. Yeah, I think Alabama wins this. Don't really have any reasons why. I think Jalen Milroe is a lot better at home this year than he's been on the road. Florida goes to Florida State. The Seminoles are 2-9. They're ready to get this season over with. The Gators are bowl eligible at 6-5. Florida, a 16.5-point favorite in Doak Campbell Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's Florida. What is there to say? Florida State is really bad. They're ready. It's a lost season. They're ready to be done. And Florida also is playing pretty well late in the year.
I just don't understand how Florida State has changed with the same head coach, because they got to the playoffs last year and they were really good last year, and it's still the same coach.
You sound like the war chant message board.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Florida State, they haven't scored more than 21 points against an FBS team this year. Offensively challenged. I think Florida wins that. That'll be, this is amazing to me, 6 o'clock on ESPN2. That game, when I was your age, Jack, Florida State was the game of the year. It was the game of the year.
Wait, was Florida good at that time? Yeah. And Florida State?
Yeah, they were both very good.
I mean, they were good. I mean, I get it, because they only started being bad this year.
Yeah.
Oh, to be six again. You have no frame of reference for history. OU goes to LSU. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. Both of these teams are bowl eligible. Sooners are 6-5. LSU 7-4. LSU a 6-point favorite at home.
Yeah, this game's kind of gross. I mean, these are just Oklahoma. I think people feel better about Oklahoma because of that win they're coming off. And, you know, LSU is kind of turned down late in the year. We all our whole staff picks, we picked LSU consensus. I was kind of surprised by that nobody picked Oklahoma. But, I mean, I think there's room for Oklahoma to score on a pretty poor LSU defense. But I do think LSU will get it done.
It's because you didn't ask Jack. Jack, tell him who you think's going to win.
I'm going with OU.
Yeah.
Even though it's a Saturday night in Death Valley, a few weeks ago,
dreams go to die.
Since Texas A&M played LSU, their offense plus and their defense, they just look awful.
Yeah. They
have Brian Kelly looks a lot like Sam Pittman.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's just what LSU fans wanted when they hired him.
I'm picking LSU. Oklahoma can't move the ball. They can't move the ball. And I can't trust a team that can't play offense.
You can trust their defense. They have a good defense.
They do.
Oklahoma does have a good – they scored a touchdown defensively against Alabama last week.
Your efficiency ratings don't account for defensive touchdowns.
That's right. That's 100% true.
They just awfully hurt Alabama last
week. They did. They hurt Alabama.
Last week.
Hurt Alabama's feelings more than anything. Texas and Texas A&M, there's not been a game this year.
Alabama scored, but there was a flag on the foot.
I
was watching the highlights.
That should have
been
reviewable, too. Yeah. It's unfortunate that wasn't reviewable. Alabama's not going to win that game anyway, but some other team's going to get the shaft with that type of play moving forward. Texas at Texas A&M, winner goes to the SEC championship game. The Aggies, as Jack mentioned, have not looked good the last few weeks. They're 8-3 overall. Texas 10-1. A&M, they still have playoff hopes. I think Texas is probably going to be in the playoff regardless. Longhorns are a 5.5-point favorite in Aggieland.
Yeah, this was another one where I was surprised that we all were in agreement on Texas, our whole staff. So, I mean, I think this is going to be a really, really good game, but I do think Texas is going to be able to get this done with defense. Quinn Ewers is expected to play, even though I don't think he's 100%. But like we talked about the other day, even if their backup has to come in, you've got Arch Manning coming in. So I think Texas will be fine.
What do you think, Jack? You think the Aggies will saw the varsity's horns off?
I'm going the other direction. I'm going with the Aggies.
Yeah.
Since LSU, they've looked really, really good at home. Very good at home.
Yeah, that's
like
where they
are. Marcel Reed came in, he changed everything. He changed everything at home.
The Aggies don't have Le'Veon Moss. That's a huge deal to me.
I know they don't have Le'Veon Moss, but Marcel Reed has just been looking pretty good.
I think Texas wins. I think Texas Ewers, I think, is expected to play. And so that's I think that's if he's healthy, that's a big deal for Texas. I think the Longhorns win this game. But my goodness, it should be a great rivalry. They've been camping out in College Station for 2 weeks for this game.
That's crazy.
They were camping out when they lost last week against Auburn to watch this game. And so it's always great when you see rivalry games, but especially like the big rivalry games get renewed like this
when
one.
When it comes back, it's, yeah, when there's so much excitement for it.
I mean, Texas A&M to me is a top 5-10 rivalry game in the country.
Yeah.
And to take it away for 13 years is incredibly stupid, and so I'm glad that it's coming back.
You can see Arkansas-Texas is a big rivalry too.
Yeah, you can.
It's maybe one of... It's up in the top 10 biggest rivalries in college football.
Everybody likes to consider Texas a rival.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody considers Texas a rival.
Almost every team hates Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true. Arkansas goes to Missouri. Tigers ranked number 21. They're 8-3 overall. Arkansas 6-5. Obviously, 2:30 game on the SEC network. The Tigers are a 3-point favorite. Christina, what do you got?
Yeah. I mean, I went with Missouri. I think they are really closely matched. I think it will be a close game. I think it will be a messy game, in part because of all the weather and the cold that we talked about. But I don't trust Arkansas in a messy game. I trust Missouri way more. We've talked about how they've won really weird games. They've been able to close it out late in crazy ways. And I don't trust Arkansas to play clean enough and mistake-free enough to make this happen.
Jack?
Arkansas.
Why?
Arkansas, and the snow, chance kind of helps.
Why do you think the snow chance helps Arkansas?
Because when it snows, it kind of helps the bad team.
Oh, it levels the playing field. That's a good point. You
said in Missouri, just like their offense. Plus, and their defense, they just look awful. I have to go with Arkansas.
You said you think Arkansas's defenses look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
They looked awesome against, like, their offense. It just looked really good against Texas. Like, Texas should have beat them by.
You mean their defense? Their defense looked good against Texas.
Texas should have beat them by 7 touchdowns.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. That's okay. I'm going with Arkansas. I don't really know why I'm going with Arkansas. Basically, I do know why. The efficiency ratings tell me Arkansas is going to win. And they haven't been as trustworthy the last couple of weeks, you know, because, I mean, the last couple of weeks have been so chaotic in the SEC. I don't trust either of these teams, to be honest with you. I mean, like, the consistency level from one week to the next with Missouri has been just as wild of a ride as it's been Arkansas one week to the next. I just think Arkansas is due a win in the series. And I think this is the best year that they've had a chance to beat Missouri probably since they beat them the last time in 21. I think that there's an embarrassment from last year's game that is, Jack, you gotta stop, buddy. We're gonna turn your mic this way. There's an embarrassment from last year's game that I think has kind of probably fueled this team a little bit. You know, whether it be losing by 34 on your home field or Eli Drinkwitz rubbing it in whenever they get your best player to flip to them, you know, during the signing period. I just think there's a motivation maybe for this game this year that wasn't there last year. And I think Missouri's susceptible to losing. I mean, I think that's the bottom line. They played the easiest schedule in the SEC.
It's true.
And maybe they're a better team than Arkansas. They very well may be, but I think Arkansas has got a good chance to go in and win.
Yeah.
Back to OU LSU.
Okay, well,
this is a very, this sounds like a close game, but I just can't take LSU over the weeks.
Okay.
I mean, it was just Ole Miss wasn't ready to come in to Death Valley.
Your brain.
What do you think Oklahoma is?
Your brain's on overdrive right now. He's been watching too much football. You're going to a high school football game tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm actually, my cousin plays for the Bentonville Tigers, Eli Brooks. I'm going to Bentonville Tigers versus the Conway what?
Wampus Cats. Conway Wampus Cats. Semifinal game in the 7A tonight. Conway at Bentonville. The other game is Pulaski Academy down at Bryant. Hey, we appreciate you being with us. We are going to have, obviously, a lot of content on our website over the weekend at WholeHogSports.com. Hope that we see you there. Until then, hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you later.